Will you turn to Ezekiel chapter 2, please? Ezekiel chapter 2. Our text will be chapters 2 and 3 of Ezekiel. And this is Ezekiel's call and Ezekiel's reluctance. Ezekiel's call and Ezekiel's reluctance. In Ezekiel chapter 1, God showed himself to Ezekiel. He showed his glory to Ezekiel. And in chapter 2 and 3, God called Ezekiel. What God wanted with Ezekiel was, in some ways, unique to Ezekiel. It was, in lots of ways, just for him. But in other ways, God treats us all like this. We are all his servants. We turn from idols to serve the living God. That's what Paul told the Gentile church in Thessalonica. And we'll pay close attention to see what happened between God and Ezekiel, and the usefulness for us will actually not be very hard to see. So God called Ezekiel in Babylon in the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. So that means the fifth year after the second Babylonian invasion, which was about 598. So at the second Babylonian invasion, 8,000 to 10,000 Jews were taken captive to Babylon and settled there. And Ezekiel was a priest in that crowd, and there God showed himself to Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel saw God on his divine chariot throne, like nothing he'd seen or any of us have ever seen. No one else gets called with such an impressive vision of God as what Ezekiel had. So we'll pick up the story with the last lines of Ezekiel 1. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. That's Ezekiel summarizing what he saw. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. So Ezekiel saw the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and he fell face down. It's not a deliberate, he just collapsed. And the Lord said, "Stand up on your feet," and as he spoke, the Spirit came into Ezekiel and raised him to his feet. It doesn't say he couldn't stand up, we don't know, but he did not have a choice in the matter. The Spirit raised Ezekiel to his feet, and then God spoke. And he gave him a difficult job. We're going to read chapter 2, verses 3 to 5, a difficult job. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. And say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them." So, I am sending you to the Israelites. That's the call. And such Israelites, rebellious nation, they have rebelled. They are in revolt against God, obstinate, stubborn, a rebellious people. My brothers and sisters, God gives us, his people, hard jobs. Not always, but sometimes yes. We have his assignment, we get his assignment, and it's difficult, and it's obvious. But God does not deceive. He's clear up front from the start. We should not be too surprised if we find parts of our calling very difficult. That was certainly Ezekiel's. Don't be afraid. Verses 6 to 8. "And you, son of man, 1. Do not be afraid of them or their words. 2. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you and you live among scorpions. 3. Do not be afraid of what they say, or 4. Be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people." 4 times God told Ezekiel not to be afraid of them. Briar and thorns will be all around you. You will live among scorpions. Now God's talking about people here, not plants or insects. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of their words. That's a clear call here. The opposite of fear, speak my words and don't rebel. Chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. When God talks to Ezekiel, the opposite of fear is obedience. You must speak my words to them. Do not rebel. The Bible does sometimes speak about feeling peaceful and calm because we trust God. That is, and the Psalms talk about that. That's not unusual. Psalms 23 and 46 are particularly famous, and they're comforting, and they're comforting and confident about God's care, and we can rest and relax in it. But often in the Bible, it is like this. The problem with fear is that it stops us from obeying God. You must speak my words to them, Ezekiel. Do not rebel. And if fear stops you from doing what I tell you, Ezekiel, you are rebelling against me. So, my brothers and sisters, things scare us. And we're right now in a situation with this virus that scares us. We always need to hear this. God's not offended that we're scared. He finds it unnecessary because he's taking care of us, but we get scared. But so the problem, though, where it gets dangerous is that it will stop us from doing what he has asked us to do. Don't rebel. Speak my words. What is success? I skipped in chapter 2, verse 5. I skipped over a line here at the beginning of verse 5. Whether they listen or fail to listen. That's in chapter 2, verse 5, and it's twice in chapter 3, verse 10 and 27. Whether they listen or fail to listen. Suppose you battle your fears and you take hold of the difficult assignment that God has given to you and you obey, you live in his ways, you do what he says. What do you expect the result of your effort to be? Do you expect your actions to be productive? Well, of course we do. You want a good result? And suppose that after you battling your fears and doing what God has put in front of you to do, you go through all of that and it does not happen. There is no good result. What will you tell yourself then? When what you thought was obeying God does not accomplish anything. When you thought, what you thought was obeying God does not accomplish anything, what do you tell yourself then? God prepared Ezekiel for this. God more or less told him from the start. God said, listen, Ezekiel, whether they listen or fail to listen, they will know that a prophet has been among them. For Ezekiel, success was to do what God wanted done. Period. End of story. Success was to do what God wanted done. Lack of human response proved nothing. It was actually to be expected. In his call, it was certainly to be expected. So be careful. Let's be careful what we tell ourselves when obeying God does not accomplish what we thought it should accomplish. Be careful. God prepares us for this. Did Ezekiel fail? Depends what he's trying to do. If he's leading Israel to repentance, he failed miserably. If he was doing what God wanted done, he was a complete success. So, this is for you and me, my brothers and sisters. What are we trying to do? If Ezekiel was trying to accomplish something with Israel, he failed. If he was trying to accomplish something with God, he succeeded. What are we trying to do? Eating the scroll. Chapter 2, verse 8. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. And it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. And he said to me, son of man, eat what's before you. Eat the scroll, and then go and speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. And then he said to me, Son of man, eat this scroll I'm giving you, and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. What does it mean to eat the scroll that has words on it of lament and mourning? Eating the scroll means that Ezekiel is not just a mouth, a tape recorder, to memorize what God said and then blurt it out. No, he is to fill himself with God's message. God's message is supposed to go into his ears, into his mind, into his heart, into his stomach. God wants him to absorb the message, not just remember it, but soak it up so that it actually becomes, the message is supposed to become a part of Ezekiel. That's what it means to be a messenger of God. So in 3:11, God says, listen carefully and take to heart all the words that I speak to you. That's what eating the scroll means. I don't know if he actually ate a scroll or not. We don't know, but we get the point. Absorb this message completely. Make it a part of yourself. The scroll had writing on it. Okay, God had a pretty specific message. It is not just a feeling Ezekiel gets. It is particular words. God gave Ezekiel a scroll to eat, and then Ezekiel spoke it, and someone else wrote down what he said, and then it was on a scroll again, just for us. But it started, in a sense, as a scroll. Whether there was actually a scroll there or not, we cannot say, at least I cannot. Called again. In chapter 3, verses 4 to 11. In chapter 2, verse 3, God began, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites. And that call lasts 6 verses, from 2:3 to 2:8. And then we have the part about eating the scroll. And then in 3:4, God begins again, Son of man, go to the people of Israel. And in 3:4 to 11, God repeats pretty much the same call as he gave in Ezekiel. Gave Ezekiel in chapter 2. So those two paragraphs, the two calls are, there's a little bit of difference, but not very much. So he basically gets the call twice. We're going to come back to this later. But let's read the second call. Chapter 2, verse 4. He then said to me, this is after he's eaten the scroll, Son of man, go now to the people of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and strange language, but to the people of Israel, not to many peoples of obscure speech and strange language whose words you cannot understand. Surely, if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the people of Israel are not willing to listen to you, because they are not willing to listen to me. For all the Israelites are hardened and obstinate. Wow. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. And he said to me, Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart the words, all the words I speak to you. Go now to your people in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen. So same thing again, Israelites are hard and obstinate, do not be afraid of them or terrified, go speak my words, whether they listen or fail to listen. God does add one part in verse 8, I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. God said much the same to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 in his call. The thing is, Jeremiah and Ezekiel did not feel like this at all. They did not feel like hard stone. They were often frightened and discouraged. To others, though, they were like an iron pillar and a bronze wall. That's what God told Jeremiah. To others, they were as unyielding as the hardest stone. Folks, that just means they wouldn't quit. You couldn't stop them. There's lots of this in our church. Right here, there is lots of this among our church, and it is true in every body of believers in the world. People with troubles who are often scared and discouraged, but they don't quit. And as far as the view of their whatever enemies and opponents who want to stop them, they don't quit. Nothing stops them. And that is because When God calls us to something difficult, he makes us unyielding and hard, foreheads of the hardest stone. It does not feel like this on the inside. It didn't to Jeremiah or Ezekiel, but it looks like this from the outside. And that's how we are to our opponents, because God makes us like that. Cannot be stopped. When God has something for us to do, we cannot be stopped. Ezekiel doesn't want the scroll. We're going to go back to 2:8. There's something else going on in what I've been reading that we need to see. Ezekiel does not want this. He does not want to speak for God. He does not want this call. It comes up a few ways. So let's read this again, starting from 2:8, the part about the scroll. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. And it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. Now, God had said, we just read this, don't rebel, Ezekiel. Open your mouth and eat. Ezekiel looked, but he did not open his mouth or eat. Chapter 3, verse 1. And he said to me, Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Okay, God told him two more times, eat this. Eat this scroll. Ezekiel opened his mouth, and God put it in Ezekiel's hand, but he has now been told three times to eat, and he has not eaten it. Verse 3, then he said to me, Son of man, eat this scroll I'm giving you, and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Now, finally, he's been told four times to eat, and Ezekiel eats. In chapter 2, verse 8, God said, don't rebel like this rebellious people. And God was onto something in Ezekiel. Ezekiel does not really want this call, and he is inclined to rebel. So Ezekiel's second call happened in chapter 3, verses 4 to 11. I'm not going to go over those verses again, but I want you to notice that God basically repeats the whole thing. He says the same thing. The first one didn't take. So God basically says it all again to go to the Israelites. So that takes us, the second call takes us to the end of 3:11. And now let's take a look at Ezekiel's anger. That's in verses 12 to 15. But let's review 3:11. Okay? At the end of the second call, in 3:11, God said, go now to your people in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen. All right? This is not complicated. God said, Ezekiel, you know my message. You've eaten the scroll I gave you. Now go to your people and speak to them. Okay, that's 3:11. Now let's pick it up from there. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound as the glory of the Lord rose from the place where it was standing. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other, and the sound of the wheels beside them, a loud rumbling sound. The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit with the strong hand of the Lord on me. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv near the Kabar River, and there where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days. Deeply distressed. Okay, so God said in verse 3:11, chapter 3, verse 11, go and speak to them. Did Ezekiel go? Well, sort of. He didn't go on his own. God is still in his divine chariot throne, and he picked Ezekiel up and delivered me. He says, the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit with the strong hand of the Lord on me. God just moved him over there. He's supposed to go and speak. He's not doing anything, so God basically picks him up, grabs him, and moves over there with his divine chariot throne. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv at the Kabar River, and there, where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, deeply distressed. Okay, imagine Ezekiel's saying this. The Spirit took me to the exiles. I had no choice. The strong hand of the Lord was on me. I was bitter. My spirit was angry. I was deeply distressed. God had said, go to your people and speak to them. Did I speak to them? Not a chance. I was too angry and bitter and distressed. I sat there for 7 days and never said a word. I did not give them any of God's message. Can you feel what's going on here? Can you feel this? God has a prophet who's basically rebelling. That's what Ezekiel's doing. And he does not like it. He's furious at God imposing himself with this difficult call into Ezekiel's life, as if he didn't have enough troubles before this. Ezekiel is like Jonah. Jonah did not want to do what God called him to do, although he ended up doing it. Even Moses, in Exodus 3, at the burning bush, so God told Moses to go to Egypt and lead the Hebrews out. Moses had several reasons why God's call was not a good idea. And he explained this to God. And it's a long conversation. It goes through chapter 3 and into chapter 4. And God answered every one of Moses' objections. And then at the end of this conversation, Exodus 4:14, Moses said, O Lord, send somebody else. He does not want to call. And at that point, God got angry. God said to Moses, your brother Aaron is already coming to see you, to help you. You are certainly going to Egypt, as I said, and this conversation is over. And it was. Like Moses and Jonah, Ezekiel did not want to be God's messenger, and like them, God did not take no for an answer. So, Ezekiel got to the exiles, and he's been there 7 days, and he has not spoken any of God's message. But God's not finished. God warned Ezekiel. Let's pick it up. He's been quiet for 7 days. Chapter 3, verse 16. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you, Ezekiel, do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person, and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, they will die for their sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before them, they will die. Since you did not warn them, they will die for their sin. The righteous things that person did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the righteous person not to sin, and they do not sin, they will surely live because they took warning, and you will have saved yourself. Both of these paragraphs end with the same line. But you will have saved yourself, Ezekiel, but you will have saved yourself. After 7 days of silence, God warned Ezekiel that if he did not do what God said, he would face the same judgment as the rebellious people. Let me put it a different way. God is saying, Ezekiel, if you won't obey me because I commanded you, then obey me to save yourself. And it worked. It worked. Next, after that, if we go just a verse later, chapter 3, verse 22, God says, get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and went out to the plain. This is the first time that Ezekiel has done, simply, straightforwardly done what God told him to do the first time. That's the first time God gave a clear instruction and Ezekiel just did it. But Ezekiel got it right that time. And basically from then on. So that, my brothers and sisters, is the story of Ezekiel's call and Ezekiel's reluctance. So there's all kinds of juicy stuff here. And I have 7 points. that, let's go. Here are 7 points that I want you to get. Before, though, these paragraphs about Ezekiel as a watchman at the end of chapter 3 have been used to urge all believers to be evangelists. Years ago, that was preached to me more than once. Biblically, that does not work. This is a warning to a rebellious prophet. We do need to obey God and not rebel against him, and rebelling can bring judgment on us. But God never asked us to do what he asked Ezekiel to do. There is not one clear place in all the letters of the New Testament, from Romans 1 to the end, where ordinary believers are called to speak the gospel to their neighbor or to somebody else. It's just not in there. That is not part of the standard call. So we've covered that before. So don't hear a call to all believers in that warning about the watchman. So, what can we learn? One, God is determined that his people will hear his message. God is determined that his people will hear his message. His messengers will deliver his message, and God will see it done. And these were obstinate and rebellious Israelites, and the prophet was not much better, and God was resolved that he will get his words into their ears, and God could not be stopped on this. When God wants a message to go out, it's going. Okay, it's going. He had a clear message, and it was going to go, and it was spoken. Two, God, so one, God is determined that his people will hear his message and God will see it done. Two, God calls his servants to do hard things. This world is a difficult place, and God sometimes asks a lot of his servants. He's actually done quite a bit of that. He has asked a lot of his servants. Let's not be too surprised. Ezekiel's call was not an easy one. God asks his servants to do hard things. Three, whether they listen or fail to listen. We have to think carefully when we're obeying God what success looks like. Okay, what does success look like? And success for Ezekiel has got nothing to do with how the people respond, either the world or even God's own people. That is not a good measurement. By that kind of version of success, Ezekiel was a total failure, but he did see what God wanted said, and in that way, he became a complete success. So think carefully, and don't be too alarmed if you're doing the right thing and people don't respond well. I mean, that's all Ezekiel knew. We're not better than him. So be prepared for that. Often it does not happen, but sometimes it happens. So make room for that in your life. Number four. Fear blocks obedience. In the first call in Ezekiel 2, God mentioned fear 4 times and 2 more in the second call. God was not offended that Ezekiel would be scared. The problem was that Ezekiel's fear would stop him from obeying God. And in this story, faith is not what makes fear go away. Faith is what leads frightened servants to obey God. Faith is not what makes fear go away. Faith is what leads frightened servants to obey God. Five, God makes us tough. God makes us tough. I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. God told Jeremiah, you will be an iron pillar, a bronze wall. Neither of those men felt anything like that, and neither do we. But listen, the God who calls us is faithful, and he will see it through. God will take care of us. Don't be afraid. If God has something for us to do, nothing can stop us. If God has something for us to do, nothing can stop us. Ever. And when something stops us, it means we didn't need to get it done. Because if God has something for us to do, when something stops us, it means his work for us is finished. Until then, nothing can stop us. Number six. The most remarkable vision of God recorded in Scripture as the basis of a call. John's revelation was also a remarkable vision, but it was not part of his call. But the most remarkable vision of God recorded in Scripture as the basis of a call did not take away Ezekiel's rebellious spirit. He saw the most amazing things about God, and his instinct was still to rebel. Fear of God's judgment turned Ezekiel around. If he would obey, he would save himself. That was not God's first choice with Ezekiel, but it worked, people. Okay, the most remarkable vision of God recorded in Scripture as the basis of a call did not take away Ezekiel's rebellious spirit. But fear of God's judgment turned Ezekiel around. That was not God's first choice, but it worked. Perfect love casts out fear. That's true. 1 John 4. But our love for God is not perfect. That's how it is. So I'm not going to labor that anymore. Moses got a burning bush. Paul saw the Lord on the road. No one got the royal visionary treatment Ezekiel got, and he still did not submit to that God. But he did obey to save himself, and that's good. Lastly, it's hard to miss God's will for your life. Don't worry about finding God's will for your life. Follow Jesus one day at a time. That's his will. When he wants more, it's going to happen. When God has something for us to do, it's going to happen. The one who calls us is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.